Saturday, January 8th, 2010.
Welcome to the Bears Blog, oh, Saturday show. You are listening to the Bears Blog, Saturday show. When you need to get your Bears fixed, there's only one place you can go. The Bears Blog, oh, Saturday show. Chicago in a couple of weeks. Oh, you gotta beat these guys. You gotta beat these couple of guys when they come to Chi-Town, baby. Who are these guys? Pete Carroll's a weirdo. Matt Hasselbeck is old. Andy Reid's a crappy father. Michael Vick kills dogs. Drew Brees, he's got a weird thing on his face, and I'm pretty sure Sean Payton molests children, but I can't prove that. Please don't sue me, Sean Payton, for libel. I can't prove you touch kids.
Forget about the injuries, okay? Bears Blog Saturday Show. I'm your host, Jeff Hughes, also known as Bloggy Piper. Okay, forget about the injuries in Sunday's game. Forget about my maybe irrational fear that Jay Cutler would get hurt by being sacked 7 to 10 times by a good defense. I know that's irrational. Quarterbacks never get hurt when they're sacked. I must be crazy. And our quarterback's never sacked because our offensive line is really good. So all that was irrational on my part. But forget about that. I was so far off with our quarterback getting sacked and injured. Here's my point about Sunday. And here's what I saw, and I still defend. I saw an offensive line that can't block. And I saw a Giants team demolish this Bears club in a way that nobody else has, not even the Patriots. The Patriots beat us up, but they didn't blow us off the line of scrimmage the way the Giants did. And we lined up with the Packers Sunday with nothing to play for and showed we're right in their wheelhouse. We can play with them any day of the week. What was important about Sunday to me was that the Giants are out of the playoffs. And now the only significant mismatch for the Bears in the conference is out of the way. That is a huge deal for this team. And I don't understand why other Bears fans don't see it. And they keep coming back to this, you have to beat your rival. You have to knock your rival out of the playoffs. Is that really more important to you than winning the Super Bowl? Because I don't give a shit about the Packers. I know I'm supposed to. And maybe it's because I'm not born and raised in Chicago. Maybe that's part of it. But literally, I want to beat the Packers just as much as I want to beat the Vikings. But I'm not in this mindset where I'm like, well, I'd rather beat the Packers than go to the Super Bowl. Because I'd much rather see the Packers in Soldier Field in the NFC Championship game than see the Giants. Because I don't think we can block Osayu Manure and Justin Tuck. And now Pierre Paul and Barry Cofield. I don't think we can block those guys. We can't block a good 4-3 attack. We can go after the 3-4 attacks. If you have to manufacture pass rush against us, we can beat you and we'll find ways. We didn't try to do that this week. We dropped back and we kind of let them hit us. It was a faulty game plan this week. If they were going to play hard, they should have gone out with a real offensive scheme and attacked those guys, and they didn't. And if you believe they did, then you believe the most important offensive weapon this team has is Rashid Davis. And if you believe that, I got a bridge for sale.
Get in your knee, oh. baby Brett Favre's retired now. What are you going to do?
If Lovie Smith weren't the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and you were offered as a fan the opportunity to extend Marinelli, Martz, and Taube for 4 years each, would you do it? I thought about that on the train this morning, and I realized my answer is yes. I would sign up right now for 4 years of Marinelli, Taube, and Martz, essentially meaning that the thing I don't like about Lovie Smith is that he's bad with challenges, he's bad with timeouts, and he's bad with what, when to go for it on fourth down, and I disagree with him on when to play people and when not to. So, Lovie Smith and a Lovie Smith extension is really about these intangible qualities of head coaching and not about the scheme anymore. Because I'm very happy with the offensive scheme. I'm very happy with the defensive scheme. I like the line coach. I like the special teams coach. It's really just these basic things that bother me about Lovie. And man, if he could clean them up in a year, you might be looking at a pretty good head coach. 7 seasons, 3 division titles, 2 playoff wins. If he wins a couple of playoff games this year, we're going to have Lovie Smith for a long time in Chicago. As you know, we have 2 picks contests going simultaneously here at bearsblog.com. The fan champion was Viva, who kind of dominated, ran away with it from Thanksgiving on, had a 2 or 3 game lead there down the stretch, and won a $100 gift card from fanshop.chicagoshopping.com. And the editor's trophy went to yours truly, and it came down to the final game of the season. My brother Chris had a half game lead on me, and the Rams -2.5 on Sunday night, and the Seahawks came out and pulled out a victory and gave me the editor's trophy for 2010. And now the champion's picks for the postseason. Myself first, and then Viva. The wild card round, as Mike Francesa would say, in the league where they play. For pay.
Picking and we're picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Hey, picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Picking and we're picking all night, and we're gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks, so.
Me and Viva!
We're gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boy's going 3-0, sometimes the boy's going to dose and no. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
I'll make mine as quick as possible. I'll take the Ravens -3 in Kansas City. Just taking the better team there. I will take the Colts -3 at home over the Jets, even though I think the Jets are a better team. I'm going to go on the intangibles here that Rex Ryan is pissing off Peyton Manning because he won't shut up. And I think Peyton Manning will look at this postseason as a bit of a referendum on his career. If he can get a couple of postseason wins with this group, with 17 guys on injured reserve, it might be the biggest achievement of his career. Bigger than the Super Bowl. If he gets to the Super Bowl with these guys, it's insane. I mean, it would be one of the most remarkable accomplishments in NFL history. So I'm taking him -3 only because I'm taking the best player on the field this week, and it's Peyton Manning. I will take the Saints -10.5 over the Seahawks because I think the Seahawks are awful. That being said, I will be rooting hard for the Seahawks to stay in this game to at least entertain us. And if there is snow on the field, if there's a storm that breaks out in Seattle, I'm going to flip this pick. So if you see storm clouds, I'm picking Seattle. But right now they are saying the weather should be fine, so I'm taking the Saints -10.5. And the only underdog that I'm taking this week is the Packers +2.5 in Philadelphia. If you haven't learned now how to defend Michael Vick, after seeing the Bears do it, the Giants do it for 3.5 quarters, and the Vikings do it to perfection, then you haven't learned. And the Packer defense is designed with Woodson and Matthews' ability to be able to tunnel him up, and force him into bad throws, and they're opportunistic enough to catch the ball. The Vikings should have beat the Eagles by 30 points. They didn't catch the ball on defense. Packers will catch it. So I'll take Packers, Saints, Ravens, Colts. My wild card picks. Beyond the palace, semi-fire drone, scream down the boulevard. Girls comb their hair in rearview mirrors, and the boys try to look so hard. Hey, hey, Viva! Oh, oh, oh!
Viva! Hey guys, this is Vivo with some wildcard weekend picks. Game number one, I like the Ravens -3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Game number two, we have an intelligent team playing an arrogant team. I'll take the Colts -3. Game number three, we have the Eagles -2.5 against the Green Bay Packers. I think the Packers represent the biggest challenge we have to get to the Super Bowl. The Packers should be given points, but instead they're getting points. I'm taking the Packers +2.5 on the road in Philly. Game number four. We have the Saints -10.5 playing in Seattle against a hapless Seahawks team. I hate backdoor covers, and this game smells like a backdoor cover to me, but I'm going to take the Saints -10.5 because they're a better football team all the way around. All three phases are better than the Seattle Seahawks. I'm taking the Saints on the road, -10.5, against a sleepless in Seattle Seahawks team. And now I have a little message from my 2-year-old Bailey girl. Say, bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Champions League of picks. Me and Viva take the same four games, which will make round one of the postseason a little less interesting than it could have been. But me and Viva both agree that it'll be the Packers, Colts, Ravens, and Saints moving on to the next round. Under that, guys, it'll be Saints at Bears next week. Hey, you could do worse. Let me talk briefly about something that's going to debut this weekend with the wild card round, and something that I am very excited about, which is the new overtime rules, which I'm hoping will be successful, and I'm hoping will carry over into the regular season, because I think they are the best overtime rules we've yet to see in any football anywhere. You kick the ball, you flip the coin, somebody wins the coin flip. They take the ball down the field and kick a field goal. They don't win the game. They then kick it off to you. You can take it down the field and kick a field goal, and then after that point, it's sudden death. But if either team scores a touchdown, the game is over. If you win the kickoff and you go down the field and score a touchdown, the game is over. What it basically says is to a defense, yeah, if you hold a team to a field goal, that's success. And what the old overtime rule said was, if you make a team kick a 52-yarder, that's failure. And that's not what we want in the NFL. Making a team kick a 52-yard field goal is a successful defensive stand, and the old overtime rules didn't treat it that way. And so what we're doing now is saying, kick the field goal. This team can come down the field then after you, and that second team now has an advantage because you essentially move into four-down offense from the minute you get that ball back because you have to score some points. Touchdown wins it. So it's kick the ball up, score your three, bring the ball down, score your three, we go to sudden death. Either team gets a touchdown, the game is over. I think it's a phenomenal rule change. I hope one of the games this weekend goes to overtime. If I had to pick which one would, I think that Packers-Eagles game lines up for it, because I'd love to see these rules enacted. It's a great change by the NFL. I kill them a lot. They make a lot of dumb decisions, but this is a good decision, and I'm excited about it. We'll be right back. The Reverend's rant is not intended for children due to its use of foul language. It is also not intended for asshole football players who electrocute dogs. It's the Reverend's rant. It's the Reverend's rant. It's the Reverend's rant.
Welcome to the end times. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it's 2011. 2012 is right around the corner. Thousands of dead birds are falling from the fucking sky in Arkansas. And in the NFL, Lovie Smith has led the Bears to the NFC North title and a 2-seed. If these aren't signs of a coming apocalypse, I don't know what the fuck is. Now, initially, this didn't overly concern me. The way I saw it was, if the world fucking ends next year, we're spared the bulk of whatever contract extension that Lovie inevitably gets after this season. But then, like Paul on the fucking road to Damascus, I had an epiphany. I'm going to hell. I mean, I'm a fucking profane asshole who hangs out with Jeff and who got ordained online. There is zero fucking chance I'm getting raptured, which means I'm in for 70 years of hell on earth and then probably a nice eternal stint in the fucking brimstone below. And you know what hell is? Hell is a Lovie wants that coaching tandem leading the Bears to 2-14 seasons for time everlasting. It's Brett Favre coming back from retirement every year, forever. So this could be it. This could be the last postseason I see before I'm cast in the eternal fires getting violated by pineapples and watching Adam Archuleta in a Bears uniform. So now, I'm fucking terrified. Terrified of a coach who calls a timeout negating our improbable third and long conversion last week. Terrified of an offensive coordinator who managed to simultaneously call a Ron Turner-level vanilla offense and set his QB up to take 6 fucking unnecessary sacks. I'm haunted by memories of Steve Smith, of Reggie Wayne, and of Daniel Manning breaking down in coverage on long TDs. But you know what? There are no juggernauts in the NFC. There's no one we can't beat. So I'm terrified because winning isn't beyond the realm of possibility. So bear fucking down, because if the end times are coming, I want to meet it in a Chicago Bears Super Bowl championship sweatshirt and go out in motherfucking style.
It's the Reverend's rant. It's the Reverend's rant. It's the Reverend's rant. I leave you this week with the immortal words of the late Jerry Rafferty, who passed away this week, one of the great songwriters we've ever had. You used to think that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so easy, but you're trying. You're trying now. Another year, and then you'll be happy. Just one more year, and then you'll be happy. But you're crying. You're crying now. Don't drink and drive this weekend. See you later.